I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and we're very happy to welcome back to our studios today two women who've been here separately and together before. They are Dusty Hart, otherwise known as Barbara Jean, and Molly Dean. Welcome, ladies.
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's great to have you back. You have a new album out, and it's self-titled, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just came out like a week ago,
mm-hmm.
right? And last time you were here was 2016, I think. You were fairly new as a duo, and you had a couple of those songs, but I'm kind of curious about, you know, how long you've had some of the other ones around. But we'll talk about that. Let's start with the song, and then we'll come back and chat. What do you want to start with?
Great. This one's called Broke Down.
That's Dusty Hart live from Studio A, and the tune that kicks off their new album, it's called Broke Down. And those lovely harmonies, which are definitely a hallmark of what you do in this particular duo. So you were talking about getting ready to make the album last time you were here. Mm-hmm. When did you actually end up recording it?
We recorded it probably since the last time we were here in multiple yeah. different places.
It's, oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of been unfolding.
Sort of in stages?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we started and we ended up using the first takes we did kind of as demos that we worked off of mm-hmm. while we fleshed everything out. And then over the last year, we were in and out of Creation Audio in Minneapolis working with Tom Herber's engineering and with Mike Lewis producing. So
And tell me about Mike Lewis. He's worked with a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a member of Bon Iver, so that keeps him really busy. But he's also in a number of different bands in the Twin Cities and real involved in the jazz scene locally, nationally, and internationally, too. And just has a great ear.
Nice. So you, as I said, when you were last here, you played some of these songs for us. So some of them have been around for a while. Were there any that are a little bit newer that kind of ended up on the album after, at the last minute? Or did you all have it all really planned out ahead of time?
No.
I don't think we ever have anything really planned out.
It's not our style. There were songs that were written like the night before we recorded them.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
So.
So there's both kind of veteran songs and mm-hmm. then newer ones. That's kind of a nice mix.
Yeah, the two that we played the last time we were here in 2016, those were the first two songs that we wrote together, like, as a band. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where it started. And then everything else was kind of, like, written for the record, you know, mm-hmm. from there.
And since you were fairly new when you were here last, we talked a bit about your songwriting. And I see that you kind of are each credited with different songs on the album. So at the time you were talking about how, you know, one person will bring in a song, but of course the other person will add to it. Mm-hmm. Is that, so it sounds like that's still how it kind of works for you.
Yeah, it has been working that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've been landing more and more with the record on our sound, because it's really different from either of our previous solo work, and definitely seems like it all fits together and has this cohesive, like, Dusty Heart thing to it. And that mm-hmm. really comes from both of us bringing what we bring to the table, mm-hmm. working together. And even though, like, there's some individual writing credit attribution, like, we're doing all of it kind of at the same time together, really unfolded, mm-hmm. you know, deliberately working side by side. So
mm-hmm. do you ever help each other out with lyrics sometimes, or is it mostly the musical part that you collaborate on?
I'd say it's both. I mean, we definitely, like Barbara said, we were together a lot of the time that a lot of these songs emerged. So even working it for performance, or we would talk about, how does this feel? How does this sound? How could this roll off the tongue a little bit better if mm-hmm. we were to use different verbiage or different mm-hmm. lyrics, or, you know, a different bridge or something like that.
Yeah, like small mm-hmm. word choices. Definitely, those are things that we talk about. Like, oh, what if we phrased it, you know, this way, and it still has the same meaning, but the words are slightly, you know, shifted around or whatever.
Yep.
Nice. And I was reading that, you know, you both, you've always kind of mentioned that you both like to wander and you both love the outdoors, and that you've spent some time. Have you done a lot of writing in an outdoor setting together?
Most of our writing is in an outdoor setting.
Yeah. Do you have particular places that you like to go to get away to focus on that?
Yeah. I mean, we love coming up here. For sure.
Yeah. Big spot for us. Mm-hmm. Duluth and the North Shore. And Siren, Wisconsin. Molly has a really dear friend who's got a cabin that's really rustic, old hand-hewn from like the 1800s. Yep. And mm-hmm. we went and stayed there a number of different times. And, you know, there's like no cell phones and no running water in the cabin. And we just would hole up and cook food, drink wine, and work on songs.
Yeah. We're planning more of that this year, too.
That sounds pretty darn nice. Yeah. Do you ever write songs? Either of you ever write songs? Are you able to write songs when you're in a more hectic setting? Does something come to you at unexpected times? Or do you really... does it really seem to help to have that, okay, we're getting away from everything and this is what we're doing right now?
I definitely, cultivating a space where something like that can emerge is ideal. Mm-hmm. But we both live in the city. And, I mean, inspiration can pop up at any time. It can be a phrase or a picture in your mind or anything. And then you have a conversation and it can... You have a conversation with your instrument or with your partner or whoever it may be, and it can just start there. So being hectic, living in a hectic world changes maybe the opportunity to explore it in the moment a little bit more, but...
I think the inspiration strikes any time, and you have to kind of be ready and take note. But then, at least for me, usually it's really rare, like, that an entire song falls out of the sky in like one moment, you know, mm-hmm. from start to finish. So having that time where we go away and it's like, okay, this is what we're doing, it allows you to like figure all those ideas out and all their intricacies and maybe like get something finished. Whereas before you had a chorus or you had a line or you had a melody that you maybe, you know, recorded on your phone really fast, you know, in between traffic stops or whatever.
Right. So then when you get to that quiet place, all of a sudden all these pieces maybe start coming together.
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice. And have you been touring much in the last couple of years as you've been working on this album?
We have been, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were crazy busy. And I think that's part of why it took, like, the time that it took to do it, because we spent a lot of time on the road. Mm-hmm. Couple different trips touring out to Colorado and many different trips around the Midwest. So that really kept us busy. But that time together also allowed us to continue to hone our sound and to really get these ideas, like, to a point where they're ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I personally, you know, don't think there's any rush for people to do an album. Sometimes people just like to get something out so they have something to offer at shows, but it might not always reflect, you know, how they grow as a group. So I think having, waiting a little bit longer to put something out isn't necessarily a bad thing. And then people are really excited for it when it comes out.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, let's hear another song. What do you want to do next?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do Wild Whispers.
Yep.
It's a good little... North Shore tune.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3.
That's Dusty Hart live from Studio A, and that's a Barbara Jean tune. Wait, did I get that right? Yes, a Barbara Jean tune.
It's a Dusty Hart tune.
Dusty Hart tune from their new album. And but I'm going to ask Barbara Jean about what inspired it. And you said it's like a North Shore song. Was it inspired by that?
I mean, you spent a lot of time
in Grand Marais, and so that's a very familiar place for you.
Yeah, I had. I mean, I always say now that I used to have wolves in my backyard, and I moved to the city, and it's a different kind of animal.
For sure.
But yeah, that's just about, you know, being drawn to that, those wild places, and missing that, you know, when it's not there.
Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of special guests on this particular album, including Eric Koskinen, who you've worked with a lot, I know, Barbara. And JT Bates, who's like the drummer, the go-to drummer down in the Twin Cities, it seems like. So kind of nice to have such talented players to draw on for this.
Yes, definitely.
Amazing. Yeah, and our whole community has really expanded even beyond the Twin Cities area. We're lucky enough to have a couple tracks with Jeffrey Foucault and his drummer, Billy Conway, who was the drummer for Morphine. So they're a couple of really great cats. And then Eric Haywood, amazing pedal steel player. He's on one of the songs. There were contributions that came not just from Twin Cities musicians, but people we've met and toured with on the road.
Yeah.
Do you get to play with them sometimes on the road when you happen to, you know, go
we
through?
We do. Yeah.
That's really nice.
That's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. I bet. And I read, I can't remember which one of you said it in an interview, but it was something about, you know, what those players brought to the table as far as they do just enough and not too much. I can't remember how you phrased it, but.
The players that can play a million notes but don't. I think that's what you said.
Yeah.
Something like that. Probably more poetic.
And Mike was a huge part of that process, too. I mean, that's like he is one of the most technically proficient players on bass and saxophone, you know, that you'll ever meet. But he often does more with less. Like there are moments on the record where he'll hit one note, you know, where he could hit maybe someone typically would hit six or seven. And it's so powerful because of it, all of that space. So he was our producer, and you know, obviously that had a big effect on the record in terms of who we worked with and, you know, how it was played.
And you have some piano on a track, which is
Eric Mason.
Nice. One that I particularly, that stood out for me was Blue Wing, because it's a little different than, you know, it's not, it just has a different feel than the rest of it. And what, how does it stand out for you as well on the album?
It's a favorite of mine.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a fun one to play because we can kind of get as spooky with it as we want.
That's a good word. It just has, it has this different vibe. Spooky is a very good word for it.
That's one that happened at the cabin in Wisconsin. And there's the story behind of just roaming out in the field and...
Yeah, Molly was just walking around in this like gorgeous pasture that had just been hayed with her guitar for like 2 hours one morning, and it was kind of misty, you know, that low-hanging fog, and there were all these little birds flying up around her, and I was just kind of watching this scene from the front porch, and she came back and was like, I think I have something. I don't know if it's like a poem, a meditation, or a song, and... It was Blue Wing.
It was Blue Wing, yeah.
So. It can be all three.
Yeah.
All three wrapped in one. Well, it's really lovely. And you have your banjo with you today, Barbara Jean, but you also play a lot of viola on this. And I know you from playing fiddle as well. Is the banjo a newer instrument for you, or have you played that kind of side by side with the fiddle and the viola through the years?
It's newer in terms of like the span of my life, but it's been with me for... you know, more than a decade at this point. So it's not new anymore. But I mean, fiddle, I started when I was three. So I don't even remember a time in my life where that wasn't happening.
Wow. Yeah. this is what you brought with you today. So all the songs you have today are on banjo. But it's really nice that you have those different sounds to bring to the table in this in this combo. So do you sometimes try one instrument with a song and think, oh, maybe not so much, I'm going to switch to...
Definitely that happens, for sure. Yeah, and I mean, banjo makes it easier in some ways to write a song from beginning to end, but it isn't always where I want to land, you know, in terms of playing it, but...
Mm-hmm. So yeah. you write on the banjo?
Yeah, mm-hmm. More probably than I write on the viola. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a lot easier to, you know, same reason I think a lot of people use a guitar to write songs. It's real easy to just strum and accompany yourself. It's
right.
A little bit more challenging on a violin or viola. Not impossible. You know,
right.
Clearly there are people that do an amazing job with that, but
yeah,
you know.
And Molly, we were talking about your guitar a little bit before. It's a Gibson,
yes.
And it's well-loved. How long have you had this guitar?
I've had this guitar for maybe 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not too long.
It's very beautiful. It has
some
flowers on the, what is that part of the guitar called?
On the
pickguard?
Pickguard,
yeah.
That's it. And you're saying that, oh, they're starting to wear off a little bit.
They are, yes. It's a J200 Junior Gibson.
Okay.
So it's,
someone out there will know what that means.
Yeah. But there's a larger version of this called the Jumbo that Emmy Lou Harris plays.
Oh, nice.
And I tried that one and I could barely reach my arm around the front. So I'm impressed with her.
Yeah.
That is pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only time I've seen her in a person was at the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival. And she was like, you know, I'm teeny. She looked like a little ant, so I have no idea like what stature she has in person, if she's a taller person or I have no idea. So I have no idea how that kind of guitar might fit her.
Yeah. I don't know.
She just muscles through it.
She muscles through it.
I guess. And you named your guitar?
Her name is Roberta.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's after a very good friend of mine was having a baby, and she thought she was having a girl, and she ended up having a boy. And I said, can I take your girl name for my guitar? Because it's my new baby. She looks like a Roberta, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just the nice sunburst and the...
She really does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. All right, well, let's hear another tune. What do you want to play next?
This one is called Traces.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you. your smile in every day. Hours tick by, it never fades, like the brightest star seen from on far.
Very nice. That is Traces, right? Mm-hmm. Another one from Dusty Hart's brand new self-titled album. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you back here.
Thanks, yeah, Christine. Thank you. Really appreciate all you do here, KUMD.
Oh, no problem. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen and Slade Gulen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.